All right, True Detective. True Detective. Good God Almighty, what are we going to do with this show?
I don't know. Although I thought this was better than the first two. Did you?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm just getting used to it.
Yeah, you may have a point. I'm really annoyed. I'm really annoyed, but I didn't think last time. I don't know if it was me, but it was horrible. It was horrible. I couldn't keep track of anything, and I think you might be right. I'm falling into a rhythm of it, so you could be right.
This is the West Coast Project podcast for True Detective. My name is Mike,
and I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, True Detective, we're back for another episode.
So tell me, Mike, are you feeling apoplectic?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay,
so this one is Night Finds You, or maybe tomorrow. Night Finds You was two. This is maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's how it ends. Maybe tomorrow. So we're here to do the podcast for it on West Coast Project. So, God, Michelle, you know, this show, first of all, Ray bounces back like a champion from that shotgun blast. He's my hero.
Yeah, I told you I wasn't going to like that, and I don't like that at all.
He hardly even has a wound. anyway, let's go do it in the right order.
Okay.
Instead of just bitching about it. Starts out pretty cool with Elvis. That was kind of neat, this Elvis singing.
You know what? That was, I thought it was Elvis too. And then when I looked it up and read some stuff on it, I think that was a Conway Twitty impersonator.
Oh, okay.
Singing Bette Midler's The Rose.
Okay.
Because evidently he sang that or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, maybe he wrote it. I bet Bette Midler didn't write it.
That's interesting.
Maybe she
wrote it.
I don't know. Who knows?
Oh.
So we see the punched out hands on Ray. I mean, this was kind of cool. They made us think about heaven and stuff, but it was only cool for about 12 seconds and then it was dumb.
Yes.
Ray has the punched out hands, and I guess it's his father that he's talking to, all dressed up crisp and clean in his burial uniform. And they start talking, and it looks like they're talking about what people would talk about if they're sitting with each other in heaven after meeting up again. Right? Were you getting that vibe?
Yeah, well, first, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Punched out hands. Tell me
His
that.
His hands were all bruised up.
Okay. Punched out like that. Okay. I wasn't sure what you were talking about with that. And I also didn't necessarily take it as, I thought when it first came on, I thought he was probably in a coma in a hospital somewhere or something like that, and having these kind of obvious, dreamy kind of things. I really didn't think he was necessarily dead, but
I was hoping he was dead because I was hoping that they didn't try to pull what we thought happened. We kind of knew what happened because we saw that picture.
Yeah.
But maybe we were wrong, you know. I mean, maybe that picture was wrong or something. I was hoping that I was wrong. But no, he's talking to his father. It is a dream, but it's not the dream we thought.
Right.
So the thought about heaven is like, where is this place? I don't know. You were here first. It sounds like heaven. He's got a big chest wound. It's like, oh, he's dead. He's in heaven. But no, he wakes up. There's hardly any wounds. He's got a couple bruised ribs or cracked ribs, I guess. But he's right back on track. Just riot shells, cracked ribs, no problem.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something else, too. I mean, the ambulance comes and he's, like, treated at the scene and he's sitting there and they don't even take him in or anything. And then he says that that he's got cracked ribs and he took one in the sternum. Well, I mean, you know, you'd know where you were hit. So that made sense. But how would he know his ribs were only cracked? How would he know that from the ambulance?
Did I they think have that's like an expression, like, oh, my ribs hurt. I got cracked ribs.
No, it was like he was being diagnosed with that there. It was so unauthentic. they would take him in if he were hurt, and I didn't like that at all. Not only did I not like the fact that he was alive, period, because you shouldn't show something like that. That was like it was a cheap shot, let's be honest. You know, they show that at the end of episode 2 to get you to come back, and he's not even hurt. I mean, I've seen paper cuts as bad as the guy's got.
Yeah, it's pretty lazy storytelling. So the Vinci Police Department has now taken over that crime scene in Hollywood. That's where he got shot, in that house in Hollywood.
Right.
It's Casper's house. And the house has been soundproofed, that yep. house in Hollywood. Remember, we saw that camera there, so that's going to pop up.
Right.
So Vince sees the porn magazines and his girlfriend, and he's in that room where they're trying to get the sperm deposit for the artificial insemination, I guess.
Right.
But it's not working. Baby making is so unnatural. That whole project just isn't working, Michelle.
Yeah, he was having a difficult time with that.
I didn't know that's how you did it. I guess it makes sense, though, huh? Like, you go into the room with your wife and do it?
I honestly didn't know that either. I didn't know that women went in the room with...
And if and think about this now. Let's break this down. You're in there with your girl, and you got porn magazines all around, and it looks like a little video player. What's the point of that?
I don't know.
Like, hold on a minute, honey. I got to look at this, you know, Girls Gone Wild magazine. It just, that was weird.
Any help you can get, I don't know.
All right. So we find out that the bungalow that Ray was shot in was a business lease through Catalyst, through this real estate acquisition company. And the bills were paid by Casper, and he paid the utility and phone bills and stuff. So it's Casper's house, leased through Catalyst, and Casper's definitely involved in it, or was, if he's still alive. Right?
Well, Casper's not still alive.
Well, he was involved in the house when it was.
Oh, okay.
He was alive.
Right.
And Antigone now is talking to Paul, and she tells him to put those looks to use. Right? They're going to go look at some... They're going to go into the gay prostitute underworld, I guess.
I got to tell you, I kind of like the interaction between them, between Annie and Paul. That was some of the most... And it's not great, but it's better than anything else we have, I think.
Michelle, see, this show is beating you down, and when it stops beating you, you're happy. You're like, oh, maybe. I'm not being beaten, I'm happy. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, she asked him about the actress and what, you know, did he do that and stuff like that, and... I don't know. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. And then, of course, he's, you know, making fun of her e-cigarette. And I don't know. I just thought it was...
I do like Antigone. She says, you should sue that bitch. You should sue that actress. She's got lots of money.
Okay, yeah. I don't like her anymore. I'm starting to... It's nothing but this exact same expression of disgust and disdain all the time. There's never anything different. We're not getting anything different from her. They're going to have to show us something.
Well, she's never going to be a cheerleader, Michelle.
Well, she doesn't have to be, but she needs to at least like somebody. You got to like somebody.
She does. She likes Ray.
Nah, she doesn't act a whole lot like it.
She does, though. She likes Ray.
I think she likes Ray, too, but we're not seeing any softer side to her. We're not seeing any other side to her except just this kind of disgusted. She looks like she smells something that smells bad all the time.
She does have that great line about the cheerleader that I'm looking for. It comes up later in the episode. Cheerleader at a truck stop or something like that. Anyway, Antigone, gotta love her. So, Ray and Vince. Ray asked Vince about the Hollywood house. Was it set up just for me to go there and get shot?
Yeah.
And who's the whore who told us about this place? So they want to find her. And she was just a girl. She didn't know any better. She's just like, oh, I think they went to this house every now and then. That was, I don't think she set him up to go there and get shot. But the house was psycho even before the murder scene. That this here's where they used the word apoplectic. They both use it on each other, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Ray's both drinking water and Vince is drinking whiskey, but they're both apoplectic. And Vince is mad that Casper had my money in play for the real estate. And then Ray points out that hidden camera that we saw, that there must have been a hard drive. And who knows what the heck's on that hard drive if we could ever look at it.
Yeah, right. That's going to end up being, I think, the key to everything.
But that was taken by whoever shot him. Somebody took it. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do they really expect us to buy this? I don't know. I just think it's a lot to buy. And this is a lot to buy. Ray walks in the house just in the moment when there's this big blood spatter in the, not spatter, pool in the floor. The guy in the bird mask is in there at that moment. If presumably Ray had gotten there 15 minutes earlier, it would have had a different, I don't know. I just think they ask us to buy so many things. And we can overlook a lot of this stuff if the content is more compelling. But
Pizzolatto does come up with some cool, funny lines every now and then. Because when Ray walks away, somebody notices him and asks Vince, what the heck happened to him? And Vince says he was murdered. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but he doesn't pull it off to me. Vince Vaughn does not pull off these lines to me. It feels almost comedic. And I know that everyone says that's, you know, my putting on him based on my inability to look forward. But I just don't think he pulls these lines off. I don't care about his character at all. I don't want to see him succeed necessarily. I mean, I just don't care. I don't care about his past. They haven't developed that character. Frank's character's not developed enough for me to care about what's going on with him. And I hate that.
All right, well, let's go meet the mayor of Vinci's wife, Michelle.
Okay.
Annie and Paul go up to Bel Air. The mayor of Vinci lives in Bel Air. He doesn't even live in the town that he's the mayor of.
Right.
He lives in this ritzy Bel Air. And the wife is this Russian trampy-looking girl who's breathing some sort of nitrous or pure oxygen or something from that.
What was that? In that, like, blow-up bag?
Some sort of delivery agent for this nice nitrous. Not nice nitrous, but nitrous or something. It was a narcotic of some kind or some sort of a mood-altering rush. I don't know. I don't think it was oxygen. I think it was something more illicit.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we find out
some kind of different fancy kind of cigarette thing. I don't know.
No, it's a piece of drug paraphernalia.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because she said she needed it for something. I can't remember. Yeah, I think you're right.
And we find out that Casper had called that house a lot, the Bel Air house, I guess, at 1 to 2 in the morning a lot.
Oh, I thought he made He made the calls from the house because she's like, I didn't pay any attention. Hard lines somewhere else. I didn't pay attention to who people were calling. I thought that's what they said.
Well, it could be either in or out, right? She could make that statement.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it meant that Casper called into the Bel Air house from wherever he was.
You might be right.
Because why would he be at the mayor's house?
Well, right. But that's kind of what I thought they were saying. But you're probably right with that. Is everything weird in that whole scene? That scene didn't even feel like it fit in, even with the rest of the show.
Well, it felt like it fit in that it was weird. But, I don't know. The Russian babe who's married to the mayor has been married to him for 4 years. They met at a party.
Right.
And while they're talking, Annie goes upstairs and starts looking around. And she finds the real estate mapping tracks. I guess of the route that they want to acquire for this train. And another girl shuts her out of the office or something, or slams the door on that office, and then gets thrown off the ledge into the pool.
Was that the same girl?
I don't know if it was the same girl, but another girl gets thrown over the edge into the pool. you're right. It is a wild party type house.
Yeah, for the mayor's house?
And then some Hispanic tough kid says that...
That's Betty's brother, I think. Betty's the wife, and I think that's her brother. His name's Richie.
Yeah, I thought he said that his dad was... I don't know. Maybe he said Casper. Casper was the old guy who worked with his pops. That's how he knew Casper is an old guy. Casper was an old guy who worked with his father, the Latin kid's father.
Okay.
I don't know, Michelle. I was a little surprised at this episode that it was somewhat hard to follow. Because the rest have been so easy.
No, not for me. Yeah, no.
But this tough kid does specialty events as an organizer.
Yeah, and then he's even using a fake voice. I mean, it's just so weird. Who runs into that kind of craziness?
All right, so Ray goes to the doctor, and he's in bad shape. Imagine that. Bad liver, drugs, alcohol, bad diet. Mm-hmm. He's got every illness under the sun.
Yep. And the doctor asks him if he wants to live, and he won't even answer
it. Do we even need to see this scene to know this?
I don't think so. I don't think we need to. And I'm surprised he went to the doctor. Was it for his wound? Is that why he was presumably there? I mean, he did take, like, buckshot to the gut or whatever.
No, it wasn't buckshot. It was some Nerf tips or something.
It was some kind of crowd control something, I think they said. But
yeah, bean bags or something silly. But I don't know. Let's not go back into that.
Okay.
So Vincent Frank or Vince Frank meets Vince, I don't know what to call him, Vince Vaughn, meets the construction guy named Bart, and he demands 24% of his net. That's a pretty big vig to take from somebody.
Yeah.
He's got all the Teamsters and electrical workers in his pocket. And threatens the guy. How's Mary and the kids doing? I like the neighborhood that they're in. You know, he knows right where the kids are, and it's pretty clearly a threat. You know, pay me the vig, I'm going to go after your family.
Yeah, I think they're showing us a little bit of maybe what Frank used to do. Is that what you think? What you think that's about? And he just needs the the money. So this is just a shakedown. They show us do this. They show him do that.
And I don't think that's the only stop. I think he's on a route of doing all these old school antics that he used to do as a petty criminal just to collect money. Like he wasn't just going to that one guy and calling it a day. He was going to go to five more people like that.
Okay. But 25% would be pretty significant, wouldn't you think?
Of the net. I don't know. It just seems like a lot.
And the guy says he's already paid him, so he's already had some interaction with this guy and already kind of shook him down, we assume, and then he's going back for more. He's changing the deal because things change for him, so he has to change it for them. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a next scene is Antigone at some safe deposit box at a bank or something. It's a safe deposit box of a security firm that's got articles of incorporation for its LLCs that were formed recently. And she's talking to Ray. I think Ray and her are going to be connected romantically. She's talking about who shot him. He doesn't know who shot him. They find blue diamonds in the safe box, too. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
This is Casper's safe deposit box.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a security firm, so it must be Casper's company. But they say Casper was in deep with Catalyst, and Antigone seems to be protecting Ray here. Like when the other police talk to her, she says he's just a burnout. You don't have to worry about him. He's just a loser burnout. And then later on, I got the same vibe that he's protecting her. So I think they're connected. I think they're going to be more connected. What was your take on that?
Well, didn't they even kind of insinuate that that Ray could have staged the whole thing?
Yeah, and she's like, no, he's not smart. He's just a burnout. Like, don't even think of that. She's protecting him.
But why would anybody think he would have staged that? I didn't understand why that would have even been a... You know, a blip on somebody's radar.
Maybe he's the one on, maybe he's the guy trying to get in on the deal. Maybe he killed Casper as Casper's money.
Oh, they're reaching. That's reaching.
But I think the point of that scene is that Antigone's protecting Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as she can, even though they're offering her like a potential bonus, right?
Yeah.
If she'll kind of come down on him.
Yeah. And she declines it. So now the mayor complains to Ray, doesn't like people coming to his Bel Air house, and Ray tells what he found out at the Hollywood house and like the video and stuff. And so they start asking Ray about Antigone, and this is where Ray protects her. So right. It's kind of a tit for tat. It's these two scenes were right after each other. So.
Right.
So we jump cut to Antigone with the bosses, and this is where she says, or they say to her, "I'm not saying you should go fuck him, but just pretend that you might do that and get info from him." And that's where you said that they offered her that bonus. So that's why they want the info on Ray. They're probably suspicious of everybody. So getting info from Velcoro might be a promotion to you.
Yeah, is it even that they're suspicious, or do they just want to lay it on somebody? I don't, because we talked about this earlier. Are they really looking for the truth?
Well, if they wanted to just lay in evidence, false evidence on him, I don't think they'd need her to do that. I think they need her to see if he's.
But it would help. It would help if she turned, you know.
I think they're suspicious of Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, because she has to protect him.
Okay. And I'm a little suspicious of Ray now, honestly. Are you?
No.
Okay.
No, he got shot. He got shot on purpose with a fake Nerf darts?
I don't know. I mean, why not? If you're going to get shot, wouldn't you want to get shot with Nerf?
Well, yeah, but that's not the real question.
No, but what's the point? What was the point of that?
What is the meaning of this?
What is the meaning of this? What what's the point of him going in there and getting shot like that? Just for somebody to show him who's still in charge? See? I mean, if Ray were in on something, and then, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm really, really reaching here. But if Ray were in on something, that would be like a warning shot, right?
Well, you might be right, because he does the very bad job of clearing that house when he goes into it. He walks right past a big blood stain on the floor and kind of goes right to where the guy is, and the guy shoots him, and then he gets out of it really relatively easily. Who knows? Who knows what's going on?
I don't know.
The mayor wants Antigone's badge and the high sheriff boss's judge. So the mayor wants revenge on Antigone, I guess, for looking too deep at stuff. I don't know. He wants her badge and her boss's badge. Casper was up and down the state doing land deals, and Ray wants out of this whole mess. He wants to be taken off the case, but they won't let him go. They won't let him out of it.
Why? Because they've got him doing what they want him to do,
yeah,
right?
They want the answer. I think they want to find out what really happened. What's going on, you know? And if you're in on it, it's like the devil they know. If he's in on it investigating, they know that he won't reveal their dirty games and Vinci.
I know, so I'm wondering if all of that isn't maybe connected, because they're telling Ray to steer Annie to something concrete in that. So how would he know what to steer her to unless they were all in on... I don't know. That was weird.
Here we see next Antigone at her office, and this is where she says, "I'm getting treated like a cheerleader on an oil rig." Or somebody's getting treated like a cheerleader on an oil rig. And her cop friend, boyfriend / side piece shows up, Steve. And she ends it. "Sorry, buddy, there's just not much there."
Yeah, it's run its course.
And then she tells him, he tries to push it. She says, "Don't push this somewhere ugly. Have some dignity."
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty matter of fact when she shuts this guy down.
Yeah, he did have terrible timing, but that was pretty cold. That's what I'm saying. She's cold. She has no, I don't know, There's nothing to her that we can like yet.
I like a lot of it. I like
her. What? What do you like?
Oh, I like that. I like her treating like a cheerleader on an oil rig. I like her shutting this guy down. I like the fact that she has balls. She's just tough.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything. There's a difference in being tough and in being mean. And you have to know the difference in those two things. That guy didn't do anything to her.
Maybe he called her too many times, or maybe he's bugging her. He's stalking her. Who knows?
That's reaching. I don't know.
All right, Michelle, Ray's dad is back from heaven. He's drinking, and his hands shaking left and right. He's like drinking old whiskey. He's watching old cop shows and drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
And his dad had a dream of him now, just like Ray dreamt of his dad while he was recovering or coming out of his shock or whatever.
Right.
His dad had dreamt of him. Pretty interesting. Opposite of Ray dreaming of his dad. And we see this, he finds this badge. I guess it was a badge in that cellulite block.
Right. I assume from where he retired.
It was either that or Tuco's Grill, but I don't think they would ever cross-reference those shows.
I don't think it was Tuco's Grill, but yeah, you never know.
So he throws it away, but Ray takes it out of the garbage.
Yeah, he says he'll give it to Chad if he doesn't want it. Yeah, yeah. Ray's also trying to tell him about his dream. I mean, that's significant. His kid just got shot. He just doesn't even care to hear it. His dad's not very warm.
Yeah, I didn't really care to hear it either, though, so I'm glad. So he tries to give his dad some pot. Grass will give you an appetite and put you to sleep. Two things he's probably having trouble with. What's his illness, Michelle? Do we know? Did you figure it out?
I don't know. He just said that he hadn't been eating. So I don't know.
His poor dad, man. He's all TV trays and old cop shows. This is pretty forlorn in this scene here. He's complaining about ever since OJ...
You can't be a cop anymore and all that, yeah.
Old police chief Gates and Burroughs, when we could really do police work. Kirk Douglas is on the TV show, and he calls it No Country for White Men. Instead of No Country for Old Men.
Oh, is that what he said?
I wonder if that's really a show, or if he was just making fun of the name of the No Country for Old Men.
That wasn't the show that was on. I read it somewhere. It was a different show that was on the TV, but... I don't know.
Well, somebody says No Country for White Men. I don't know if it was Kirk Douglas in the show or Ray's dad in the scene. But anyway, it was pretty interesting. Maybe it was a Pizzolatto culture reference, but of course that's an awesome crime movie that I love, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
But Ray leaves, and we go to the casino. Vince is now with Osip at the casino. He's been in Vegas. He's still trying to close this deal with Osip. And I think that he says this cold feet that Osip has are related to Casper being missing or Casper being dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they all know now that he's dead.
He's mad at Osip though. Osip leaves and he says, "You're leaving? Bon fucking voyage. Like, get the hell out of here." And then Osip kisses Ray's wife's hand down in the casino as he leaves, kind of as a slap to Ray.
Cause he knows Ray's looking.
Yeah. He's the big window.
Yeah.
He has the Goodfellas window. Right, from, is that the scene where De Niro was the, is that the movie where De Niro is the casino boss? Goodfellas? No, it's not Goodfellas, it's the other one. Casino. Movie Casino.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He's a big giant window out onto the casino. And Vince says Osip was responsible for Casper's death.
Well, he asks, right? I mean, he didn't say it.
Well, that's another theory, though. And his buddy says, well, he's half anaconda, half great white. So yeah. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. It's interesting that this show is hard to watch, and now the podcast is hard to watch, even though we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, it doesn't get easy. It's a lot of information, a lot of characters, a lot of content.
All right, so this Paul... cop Paul is at the motorcycle track. His friend's with him. His friend saw him in the paper. He's asked if he's been going to meetings. What meetings, Michelle?
I don't know, because they're drinking. So you would assume that they're not talking about AA or anything like that. Maybe it's some kind of post-traumatic stress. This was a guy, right, who was in the military with him.
Right. Or it is AA and they're just mocking it because they have two big full beers of drinking.
Yeah, I don't know, but Paul says that he went the whole first year, But so I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know. That year's over.
It didn't translate if they were trying to tell us that they were talking about his friend AA
works,
or anything.
His friend works for the Electricians Union, and he reminisces about the village in the desert outside, probably Afghanistan somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that shit felt right for them, and that was obviously a reference to their gay sex or something. They're obviously connected. They have some sort of a relationship, but Paul slugs it, rejects it, I mean, and slugs him because Paul's like this... totally has this total phobia about gay, homophobia, just doesn't want any part of it, even though he's clearly gay.
Right.
And some guy takes a picture of them. Did you notice that?
No, I did not notice that.
Some guy was there with a camera at that motorcycle race, and he took a picture.
I didn't get that.
All right, so Antigone and the traffic cameras, they find the Cadillac. This Cadillac, and Ray stumbles in. They're at a film studio. I don't know how they got connected to this Cadillac and the traffic cam, but they're at a film studio and they're shooting this movie about collapse of civilization. And I guess the Cadillac belongs to the studio is the connection. But nobody in that studio looked happy. Nobody on that film set looked happy. They were all mad and angry and just looked everyone looked really grumpy.
And they were complaining about their own jobs, it seemed like. So, yeah.
So, Ray asked the photographer about the picture, and he saw him at a party. I guess he saw Casper at the party, or he saw Ray at the party. I'm losing track of my notes here, Michelle.
I think it was Casper.
There were investors and hookers and
right.
Somewhere above Ventura, which is pretty far from Hollywood. It's, you know, 100 miles, maybe 80 miles. But they find a girl who had the paperwork of the tax agreements.
Yeah, that was Casper's secretary. Remember at the beginning, the receptionist, the girl, I think that was her. And it was interesting. That was the interesting part of that scene to me, was that they ran into her there. She's there doing something about the tax info or something, because they're coming around looking for that kind of stuff now that Casper's gone.
Yeah, she's probably going to be key in this because she has all these connections to the legal points that are connected.
Yeah, but she'd only been there, I think, for 6 weeks, is what she said at the beginning. So how much she would know, I don't know.
But the fact that they showed her the second time now is pretty
important.
So at Vince's casino, we learned Stan is dead. I have no idea who even Stan was, do you?
See, and that's it. And no. Well, Stan was his friend, right? He was the guy who was in the office with him in episode 1 and maybe episode 2, I think. And it's his friend and employee. But... We're
yeah,
supposed
he helped
to care.
Beat up that guy in the road in that one scene. That was Stan, one of those
was
two
that
guys.
Stan? Okay. But we're supposed to care about Stan, and they just haven't character developed that enough for me.
I think that was only there for the purpose of Vince saying, "Who the fuck's coming after me? They killed Stan. They're coming after me. Who's coming after me? Santos." And he names this guy Santos. So it's a warning. If they kill Stan, they're coming after Vince. They're coming after, what's his name? What's
Frank.
Vince's name? Frank, yeah.
Were they in the casino? Is that where we find him?
I don't know, because he was in kind of a hole in the ground in a warehouse looking.
Yeah, I know. I mean, where did that come from, and how would they have found him there, and why is there not police? And I was trying to figure out where we were.
I thought it was the casino. Maybe, you know, casino's got a basement
right,
to it.
Right.
And it's a place where Vince could keep the police out, probably. Out of.
Right.
All right, Paul's working the streets. Paul, the gay cop, working the streets, talking to hookers, drinking, shows pictures, I guess, of Casper.
It's of Casper, yeah.
To people. And the gay hookers sashays up to him. And he knows where a club where they used to go.
Yep.
A sexy club, Michelle, with private time.
Okay.
And Paul pays him a little bit and tries to walk away, but the guy says, they won't even talk to you, much less letting you in. You probably won't even get in the door.
Yeah, he's too angsty. I like that word.
The drama, cop drama you're pulling.
Yeah.
Bitch. So Antigone goes to Ray's now, and he has models, Michelle. He builds models with Chad, and then after Chad, builds models for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of sad. I think they were showing that, and I think he even alluded to that he had started it with Chad, but then Chad hadn't been around very much, and so he just kind of does it like in memory of the time he spent with Chad or whatever. Okay, I didn't understand why Annie was there. They haven't shown her in his home or anything like that, and then suddenly she's just in his home.
Because they're hooking it up, man. I'm telling you.
I think you're right, but I think we should have maybe seen why she was even there.
He gives her coffee, which is like, you know, that's friendly. And then the wife shows up, and he won't let the wife in. So that's kind of like, I'm protecting this romantic thing. Right? And then she asks about the Chad, and the state police are looking for you, Ray. And she warns him a little bit, too. The ex-wife warns Ray a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
The extra cash, the violence, retribution. On, you know, they know that you killed the guy that raped me, so I'm warning you that they're after you. And she tries to give him money to not contest the custody of Chad, and he won't take it.
Yeah, she says he should just leave. But now, she didn't actually say that you killed the man who raped me, right?
Retribution, she calls it.
Right. I mean, I'm just curious how that's going to end up playing out. I think they've made it known that that's certainly what they're trying to show us, but I didn't hear her say that, so that's what I was wondering.
So he turns down the money, and he goes back into Antigone, and she's uncharacteristic to Antigone. She's concerned about him. Are you all right? When's the last time we ever heard her say that to anybody, much less a dude?
Yeah.
Never was the last time. All right, yeah, Paul's at the club. He bumps into Vince at the club. Casper was there, and he liked it there. And he's left that club with girls before. And as we know from our other investigations of Casper, that he liked to watch. He was very passive.
Yep.
And they point out the girl, Tasha.
Tasha.
Elite Euro bitch.
Yep.
Okay, we jump back to Frank / Vince. He's reviewing the staff. There's a lot of blacks and Mexicans. He wants to know who's connected to the Eastern Bloc girls.
That's not his staff, is it?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
I think
this
he
is
gave
like,
that club back, or he sold it to somebody.
I thought the people, that's what I was actually going to ask you, was who these people were, but then as it went on, it seemed like it was more when he was doing the, you know, more the stuff he did before. It would have been like his associates, right? And he got them all together.
That little chubby fat guy, the Latin fat guy in charge of the club now. These were Vince's old criminal days, and he's trying to move back into the legitimate world, so he gave this club or sold it or something. Because the guy challenges him. He says, this isn't your club anymore.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
it used to be. You're old. You're little now. You're old. Get out of my place. And then Vince kicks his ass. They have a fight, and Vince kicks his ass and pulls his teeth out.
Yeah.
His teeth is fuck you, grill. We saw that in the last episode, I think, where his teeth had a nice message on them.
Right.
All right. Antigone and Ray investigate the driver, I guess, of that Cadillac, and they see an explosion or a big. They hear the woof of a car going up in flames, and it is that Cadillac in the background. And then Mike Myers runs through the scene, Michelle.
Oh, did he? I missed that.
Somebody with a Mike Myers mask runs through that encampment. He's dropping fireworks demos along the way. Pretty good for 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
Dropping sparklers and stuff. And then Ray saves her from the truck right as she aims to shoot at the guy. He tackles her and saves him.
Yeah.
She thanks him. She's thanked him, and she's asked about his, are you okay? Two signs of a unique part of Antigone that we don't usually see.
Yeah, and he tells her just to tell him what the state has on him as thanks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I don't know. So maybe they're making it look like a budding romance, but she really is tricking him or something. Or she's on the straight up and up, and Ray is posing as a, I'll investigate the house, fake shoot me.
Yeah, you see, I mean, it could be anything. There's not even any way to come up with any kind of smart predictions. It could be anything.
That's what makes this show so fantastic, Michelle.
Oh, okay.
All right, Vince goes home. His wife's waiting for him. She asks what happened. He just drinks and puts the teeth in a drawer somewhere. What the hell is he going to do with those teeth?
Don't know. That was rough. He drops those teeth. Ugh.
Yeah, she wants to make up and get pregnant, and she's all slinkified for him. But he's not in the mood, Michelle, from Tennessee. He's not going to be a great daddy, that Vince Vaughn slash Ray slash Frank, I don't think.
Well, he was trying, at least, and then everything's conspired against him. But we just haven't, I don't know, I haven't warmed up to him.
But maybe tomorrow... That's the name of the episode.
Maybe he's, tomorrow.
He says maybe tomorrow, you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's it for episode three of True Detective Season 2
just
on
three.
West Coast Project.
Just three, Mike. We've only done three of them.
There's only eight, so.
Okay.
Dawn Will Come, Down Will Come is episode 4 next week. Michelle from Tennessee, how do people reach you if they need to absolutely talk to you before Down Will Come?
On Twitter, at Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets. You have any last thoughts for episode 3, Michelle?
I don't.
God, we can't get out of this damn thing quick enough.
I know. This is a rough one. I hate that. I hate that, but it is. I agree.
All right, I'll see you next week on Down Will Come, episode 4.
See you then, Mike.
Bye.
Some say love, it is a river, and that it drowns the tender reed. And some say love, it's like a razor, and that it leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, its only seed. Learns to dance. It's the dream, afraid of waking, that never takes the chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to give. And the soul afraid of dying, that never learns to live. that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.